even if you weren't there, we looked at the foundation of the resurrection of Christ, the resurrection being so foundational to the Christian faith that without it, there's really no Christian faith at all. If there's no resurrection, then the Christian faith becomes just one more philosophy, one more ideology, one more worldview among countless others. Now that we've considered the foundation, I'd like to focus for a few minutes on what it would mean if the foundation was missing. What if Jesus never rose from the dead? What if the resurrection is just a hoax or a lie? What if it's a myth that people have held foolishly to and mindlessly to for centuries? What if it's, as one philosopher claimed, that religion is just the opium of the people? What if Christians have hoped in the resurrection just because they needed to hope in something? If the resurrection did not actually happen, what would it mean? I'd like to explore that together. And then celebrate the fact that it did happen. And the fact that it did makes all the difference now and in the future too. To get us started, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. If you have your Bible with you, I'd encourage you to turn to that. Page 1154 if you're using the Sanctuary Bible. And we'll begin at verse 13. Keep in mind that Paul is not only a great preacher and teacher, but a rabbinic scholar, a brilliant logical thinker, and a theologian who has grasp of both the Old Covenant as well as the New Covenant. He says in verse 13, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. This is a simple and logical admission that people often miss. He's saying that if there is no such thing as a person being raised back to life after they've been dead, if this is something that does not happen or cannot happen, then the discussion is really over. If there's no such day as Sunday, then today can't be Sunday. If there's no such name as Sam, then my name cannot be Sam. If there's no such thing as wood, then this pulpit cannot be made out of wood. If the dead cannot rise, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ cannot have been raised. That's Paul's logic. If something is impossible, then by definition, it cannot happen. Paul makes a statement because some of the Corinthian Christians he was writing were claiming that there was no such thing as physical resurrection from the dead. He says in verse 12, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? The Christian faith is founded on the claim that Jesus rose physically from the dead. But if there is no such thing as this, then how could Jesus have been raised? And the answer is, he couldn't have been. If rising from the dead cannot happen, then Jesus did not rise from the dead either. That's what Paul is saying. That's what he's claiming. Now, here's a simple truth. If resurrection is possible, then Jesus may have been raised. If resurrection is impossible, then Jesus was not raised. Simple as that. But if there is no resurrection and Christ was not raised, then there are some very significant consequences. Are there not? Now, you know already, even though it's just March of 2016, we've already lost a number of well-known people. Nancy Reagan, Gary Shandling, Frank Sinatra Jr., George Kennedy, David Bowie, Joe Garagiola, Harper Lee, many, many more than that. But these are some of the better known ones. And though I mean no disrespect whatsoever, it doesn't really matter if none of these people rise from the dead. We'll be okay if they all remain dead, right? But if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, this is a very serious matter. Paul addresses it systematically, beginning in verse 14. He says, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." That is, if what I am telling you is true, is not true, then your believing it is worthless and useless. You simply believed a lie. And what good is that? Of what value is it in believing something that's not true? Well, actually, it may surprise you that there is actually some value sometimes in believing in something that's not true. Hang in there with me for a moment. Faith can get us through some pretty tough times, no matter if what you have faith in is real or not. It really does happen, can be of immense value. Let me give you a crazy example. Suppose that it was my life ambition to become a famous country music singer. Okay, hey, wasn't that funny? I had this ambition to write and sing some of those deep, life-changing songs. And suppose I have such faith in this dream that it drives me toward the goal and helps me get through all kinds of problems and all kinds of heartaches, which later, of course, will aid me in writing some of those great songs. No? But this is not really a valid comparison. Paul is not talking about a faith that simply encourages you or drives you forward. He's talking about a faith that results in what you hope for. Faith that delivers on the promise that it makes. The promise of the Christian faith is that someday we will be given immortal bodies and eternal life, based on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. This is why Paul says in verse 20 that Jesus rising from the dead makes him the first fruits of those who have died. Now, hope is a wonderful thing, is it not? And faith is a wonderful thing. But sooner or later, faith must be tested by its object. If you have faith in a worthless object, then you will be disappointed, even if not right away. If we hope for eternal life, and that hope is based on Jesus conquering the grave and our greatest and final enemy, which is death, and Jesus did not rise, we're in serious trouble. The next point Paul makes is that if Christ has not risen from the dead, then those who believe that he has and say that he has are false witnesses. Look at verse 15. "More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not. If he did not raise him, in fact, if the dead are not raised," he's back to his logical argument. God could not have raised Christ from the dead if it's impossible for anyone to be raised from the dead. And if we're going around saying that, Paul says, we're just false witnesses. If Christ did not actually rise from the dead, and we go around claiming that he did rise from the dead, like we are this morning, you've noticed, right? He will say, we're just false witnesses. We're trafficking in lies. We're telling people something that's not so. It's not true. That's misleading. And we're encouraging people down the wrong path. In fact, that path is just a dead end. So if you're a Christian, and if you've told anyone that Jesus rose from the dead, and it turns out that he did not rise from the dead, then you have the dubious honor of having given someone potentially life-altering information that's actually a lie. Isn't that encouraging? But hang in there. It gets worse. The next thing we see that is if Jesus did not actually rise from the dead, those who have trusted in Christ for their forgiveness of sins, based on his rising from the dead, it means that they are still in their sins. Verse 17, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." Now, it's one thing to have a debt that you must pay and to believe that the debt has been paid. But it's another thing to find out that the debt you had has never been paid, though you thought it had been. Let me give you a personal illustration. A few years back, one day I received my monthly electric and gas bill, as I typically did, and I soon wrote out a check, mailed it in. Yeah, this was before automatic bill pay. But a few weeks later, I received a notice that the bill was unpaid. It was overdue, and in fact, I'd been fined for being late. Well, this was a shock to me because, first of all, I knew I'd paid the bill, as I always did, and I knew I'd never been late on a payment. So I got on the phone to straighten it out, and a very pleasant lady was on the other end of the phone line, and I explained to her that I had paid the bill and that I always pay my bills on time, every time, so there must be a clerical error on your part, not mine. Well, you would have thought that I had told her that Abraham Lincoln was not on a $5 bill or that the Beatles were from Germany. And I was nearly certain that I heard her mumble under her breath, blah, blah, blah. I've heard it all before, sir. Let me guess, the check is in the mail, right? Well, at this point, it's as if she was just going through the motions. And she says, sir, I'll need to bring your account up on my computer. I heard the sound of the keys. And then she says, here it is. Then there's a long pause. And she says, that's amazing. That's really amazing. You've never had a single late payment. Not one. Until now. Then she said, sir, we must have lost your check. I'm going to waive your late fee, and if you'll send us another check, it'll all be taken care of. Now, I wanted to say, well, I guess I showed you, didn't I? But I didn't. I just thanked her and told her to have a nice day. Now, that story, of course, had a happy ending. But think for a moment. If you are living your life believing that your sins are forgiven, based on your belief that Jesus rose from the dead, and he did not rise from the dead, then you have some very bad and distressing news to confront. The bad news is that your sins are not forgiven. You still have the debt, and it's still unpaid. And if Jesus didn't pay off your sin debt, guess who has to? You do. But you don't have the means to pay off your sin debt. That's why Jesus had to pay it, and that's why he died, and that's why he rose. But if he didn't rise, well, you're starting to get the picture, I can tell. The next verse piles on even more bad news. It says that if Christ did not rise from the dead, then those who have died believing that he did are not actually in heaven as we thought they were, because life after death is predicated on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Verse 18, then those who have fallen asleep, that is, died, in Christ are lost. So, not only are our loved ones who are believers in Christ who have passed away not in heaven, nor will our loved ones and friends who die go to heaven who believed in Christ, we will not join them in heaven either when we die because we're lost just like they are. Finally, in verse 19, we see that if Jesus did not rise from the dead, believers not only have nothing to celebrate, he says, we should be pitied more than anyone else. Verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Now that might sound a little strange, Why would this be true? Isn't false hope better than no hope at all? Didn't I already say that false hope can be valuable at times? I did say that. But we need to understand that not all hope is equal. Hoping to become a country music singer is not the same as hoping I get a job. Hoping I can cross bridges when I get to them is not the same as hoping that the bridge I'm on does not collapse while I'm on it. Hoping I enjoy good health is not the same as hoping that my cancer goes into remission. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, if the foundation of the Christian faith is only a myth or a lie, then those living with that hope that's only a myth or a lie are going to be extremely disappointed if they discover that it's only a myth or a lie. In other words, there's absolutely no advantage to believing this lie. You'd be better off believing in nothing. In fact, he says in verse 32, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Many who don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead adopt the Schlitz philosophy. Remember that? Don't look like you don't know what I mean. The Schlitz philosophy. You only go around once in life, so grab for all the gusto that you can. And Paul would say, who can blame them? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if there's no future rising of the dead for me and for you, if I won't rise someday to receive the promise that God made to me, if I won't spend eternity in the presence of God, if my loved ones and friends I will never see again after this life, if it's just some illusion or deception or some empty promise, then why not grab for all the gusto here and now? If the here and now is all there is. Well, fortunately, we've arrived at verse 20, which says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep simply means that Christ was among the first of countless others who have died but will be raised back to life. Not only true believers in Christ someday will be raised back to life and given eternal life, but Jesus rose as a pledge that they will be. He's a down payment on the promise. So, Christ, having been raised from the dead, makes all the difference. How so? If he's risen, then our faith is not worthless. It's of infinite value. If he's risen, then we are not false witnesses. We are true witnesses of the greatest news of all time. If he's risen, then we are not still in our sins. Our sins have been forgiven. And we're forever delivered from the penalty of our sins. If he's risen, then those who are already dead are not lost, but have entered heaven just a little before us. If he's risen, then believers are not ones to be pitied, but rather all who reject Jesus should be pitied, because they must not only live life on earth without any life-transforming faith, but they have no future hope to which they can cling. If he's risen, it doesn't just make a difference, it makes all the difference. Scholars say that there's more evidence for the resurrection of Jesus from the dead than any event in the ancient world. Nothing compares to it. The event has been researched, studied, analyzed, dissected, debated, and examined more than any event in the ancient world. It's still done all the time, all over the world. It's been verified, authenticated, established, documented, and affirmed. In fact, many of history's finest scholars who set out with the express purpose of disproving the resurrection, ended up proving it, embracing it, and becoming Christians as a result. The resurrection of Christ is foundational to the Christian faith, and the Christian faith is the universal truth and reality that God has established and that He's declared. If you haven't embraced it yourself, I hope you do so soon. Even today. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that on this Easter Sunday, we can with all confidence and with all assurance say, without any doubt, that Jesus is risen, that He is risen indeed. Amen.